Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue today to talk about abiding in Christ. This is a theme that I want to touch on this week in light of both the reality of continuing to celebrate Easter and the great gift we've been given through our Lord's passion, death, and resurrection, the new life that he's brought to us and what he's called us to, but also to keep in mind that in our life each day, the Lord is working out his plan and purpose for us. And he wants us to pay attention as disciples to what he's called us to do, especially in this moment, because we're living through a time, as I mentioned yesterday, many times on the program, we're living through both internationally, nationally in our own country, politically, and within the church and other things, a tremendous shaking that the Lord is allowing to have happen, a deep purification. The discipline of the Lord in many ways is on the church, and that's a good thing. He disciplines those whom he loves. And so he wants us to pay attention so that we can respond and cooperate, because he means this time to be a profoundly fruitful one for us. These are troubling times, difficult times, discouraging times. People are filled with anxiety and fear and worry. And so Jesus is helping us. He wants to help us to be able to live out what he's actually called us to. Remember how many times he says, don't be anxious. Don't be afraid. In this world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Instead, believe in me. Believe that I'm with you. Believe that your life is in my hands, that I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. There's a new power and new capacity in you to live differently, no matter what the circumstances are. And so he wants the church to access more fruitfully, faithfully, and consistently the power that he's given us to live a new way of life, to walk in radical love, to have the loves ordered in our life, to love God first with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love our neighbor as ourselves, and have a healthy self-love, to love ourselves in God, in Christ, and to come to that place so we can bear fruit, because that's the purpose for which he's gathered us together as a church, to be a fruit-bearing body that is bringing about the works and the fruits of the Holy Spirit, both internal, external, personal in terms of character, corporate in terms of mission and work. We're all meant to do it in our lives, our families, our vocations, but it won't happen, and we won't be able to, as St. Paul exhorts us to make the most of the time, to make the most of the time, and not to get caught up in the disordered energy that's in the world of this kind of anxiety and fear and the weight of this moment. Now, the Lord knows we can't help but experience difficulty in the moment. But what he wants us to do is to not look for alternatives to deal with it by, for example, a constant distraction, by, you know, filling our minds, you know, watching news night and day, watching TV night and day, drinking too much, finding alternative ways to just get out of the situation. He wants us to not to just turn to other ways of sort of medicating ourselves or distracting ourselves. He wants us to turn to him. He wants to give us more of his life so that we can experience what he promises in this life, even in the midst of difficulty and trial. So we began yesterday talking about the passage from 1 Corinthians 15, where Jesus talks to the apostles in the upper room discourse, the Last Supper discourse in John, where he talks to them about the importance of abiding in the vine. So we're in John 15 here. So I just spoke briefly yesterday about the first few verses where Jesus describes himself. He said, I'm the true vine. He said, that's the life source. He's the life source for every branch. You're a branch. I'm a branch. And my Father's the vine dresser. The Father keeps an eye on what's growing. And he keeps an eye on it. He said, he prunes what is bearing fruit so that it bears more fruit. And he cuts away the branches that do not bear any fruit. And I talked about that quite a bit yesterday. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there, or you could download the Renewal Ministries app, which would give you access to my program, Sister Anne's, and others. Whenever it's convenient for you, you can also download the Ave Maria app. Lots of great programming there, including this one and others. So I'm going to continue on now in verse 3. He says, you are already made clean by the word which I've spoken to you. So Jesus, who is he speaking to? The apostles who are there with him, having the Last Supper together with him. And he says, the word that I've given to you, because Jesus will touch on that now in other chapters here in this upper room discourse, and actually through John, throughout John, where he said that Jesus has come to give the apostles, the ones that the Father has chosen out of the world for him, he came to give them the words that the Father has given him to speak. And Jesus will say later that, Father, I've been faithful to that task, and they've received the word. So the power of the word of God and its role in abiding in the Lord is key, because abiding in the Lord in part means living with his teaching, living with his commands, living with his promises, knowing what they are, holding them in your heart, reflecting on them, talking to Jesus about them. This is a very important part of what it means. So we're beginning to be made clean. He said, being purified, being cleansed. That's what Peter and the other apostles will talk about in different ways, the power of the word of God to bring about internal transformation. And the word of God is really the central place that you might say drives or gives us the content of the dialogue that Jesus wants us to be in as we abide in him. So again, verse 3, you are already made clean by the word which I have spoken to you. Now, before I go on, I just want to echo something that Pope Benedict XVI said years ago. He said that he believed that the secret to a new spiritual springtime in the church would come from believers, followers of Jesus, who daily reflecting on the word of God. He said, because in this word is living and it's active. This is God's word. This is the Spirit-inspired word written by the authors, but in union with the grace and power of the Spirit that makes this word inspired. The spiration, the grace of the Spirit that's been sent, and as God has breathed this word, and this word, you were made to inhale this word in your spirit, in your soul, in your heart. You were made to commune with God. You were made to live in conversation with God. In fact, God and the knowledge of God, the experience of God, walking with God, is the only thing that will ever satisfy you fully. And same with me, obviously, right? So he's saying, now, you're already made clean by the word. So make sure, one way to ask yourself the question, am I making the most of the time during this time of purification in the church and the time of divine discipline? Am I making the most of the time? Well, one question to ask is, am I in the word of God? Am I reading the word of God on a daily basis? Lectio Divina, am I meditating on the daily readings? Am I putting myself in that context? Am I hearing Jesus' words to me as he speaks? Because this, again, Pope Benedict said so clearly, this is a love letter. He said in every page of this scripture, especially the Gospels, the person of Jesus is speaking directly to us, and his word is life. So it's really important, and you'd have to say, we're not serious about following the Lord. We're not serious about responding to him. We're not really all in the way he commands all of his disciples to be, if we're not literally daily in some way chewing on the word of God. In fact, Pope Benedict used that very earthy image. He said it's like a cow who chews its cud. You know, the cows chew the grass, they get a fill, and then they suck the juices out of it, they swallow it, and then later they regurgitate it and they draw some more out of it. And he used that image because that's a great image for us. We take the word of God each day, the manna that the Lord wants to feed us with in that word, and we chew on it, and we meditate on it. We pay attention to it. We ask the Holy Spirit to help us understand it. And then we suck the juices out of it, the living word that we're meant to take that day. And then he said, then you swallow it, and you know, you take it into yourself, and then throughout the day, periodically, he said, call it back to mind again. It's like a cow regurgitating. I know it's kind of an earthy, difficult image, especially early in the morning, but I find it very helpful. So one of the keys to abiding is the word. And then the next verse, Jesus says, so abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So the imagery of the vine and the branches, he said that that's a reality for us as a branch if we're actually living like we're connected to the vine, if we're totally dependent on the vine, if we're united to Jesus and we're daily receiving the flow of his life. We're living in an awareness of the presence and the power of the Spirit that's in us and the astounding reality of what he's accomplished in us. And so we're paying attention to what he's done. We're paying attention to the gift of the relationship that he's given to us. And I think, friends, this is important because too often what constitutes the majority of our prayer when we pray, and even the limited ways people might pray, is mostly kind of sadness, sorrow, remorse, sorrow for sin, which is really important, but staying right there, that the main conversation we have with God is, God, I'm sorry for what I did. And that matters, right? We need to be able to confess our sins and to acknowledge them. But the Lord doesn't want us to stay there. He's got so much more. He wants to remove those obstacles. He wants to give us sacramental, you know, the help of the sacrament of confession to be able to be cleansed of it all and to be continue to live in grace so we're really staying connected to the vine and the Spirit and life is flowing through us. But he doesn't want us to get stuck there. And here's what part of the devil's strategy is in the whole abiding process. He wants to destroy the process of our abiding in the Lord. He wants to cripple it. He wants to do whatever he can to limit its ability to lead us to transformation. He wants us to stay in a completely different dialogue than the dialogue the Lord wants to bring us into. He mostly wants us to stay in the world of shame and guilt and self-condemnation and disqualification, discouragement, because what's going to do, he wants to get us to finally give up and give in and back away and to not take it seriously. Because if he can stop us from bearing fruit, he's won a major victory in our lives. And he's blocking what Jesus wants to produce in us. So Jesus saying, he gives us a command, abide in me. All right. What essentially is abiding in him? What does it look like? Well, it's three simple things, you might say. It's daily living in conversation with him. Throughout the day, we're attentive, we're practicing his presence. That is, we're aware of his presence. We are aware of who we are. We have moments of silence throughout the day, where we're just coming back to him, resting in his presence. We're thanking him for what he's promised to us. We're saying yes to the commandments that he's given us that we're called to. We're believing what he says to us, little simple prayers. It doesn't have to be complicated. It's just, Lord, you say there's no, for example, Lord, you say there's no condemnation for those who are in you. And I thank you, Jesus, that for this precious, precious gift, that I am in you by your mercy, through baptism, through the grace of the sacraments and the new life of the Spirit in me. Thank you, Lord, and thank you that you don't condemn me and you want to forgive. And Lord, I thank you for that. You know, just simple things like that. We live in conversation with him, right? So that's the first thing, talking to him about what he's promised. And second, to do that, you got to know his promises. The scripture is full of hundreds of promises from the Lord, and God is not a man that he should lie, scripture says. And he wants you to internalize those scriptures. I'm with you always. And to be able to confess, say, Lord, I thank you for that promise. I trust you. I may not feel you at the moment, Lord, but I trust you're with me. And I thank you, and I love it. And I love it, Lord, that you're that committed to me, that you want to be that close to me. This is hard for me to believe. Help me believe it more, Lord. And then thirdly, it's following his leadership. What has he called you to do? What is he commanding us to do? Are we responding to it and engaging it? I want to talk about this abiding, the elements of this abiding more in depth tomorrow. Hope you can join me, but God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.